The first point is that the Lord desires that His people be concerned for the poor. Now you can write that down if you want to. The Lord desires that His people remain concerned for the poor. Now this does not imply that you are to empty your entire bank account and go downtown on Skid Row and give all those dope heads, lushes, and prostitutes all your... It does not mean that. The Lord will be concerned about your mental state if you do that. I mean, you know, we do everything decently and in order. You don't take some property that your grandmother's left you and sell it and give it to the poor, because you will be a part of that poor immediately, and then you'll be coming to me to give to you, and I'm going to say you had an inheritance and you threw it away, foolishness, so you must like your lifestyle. It does not mean that. But in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 9, I believe that the Lord speaks to us very plain about this issue. Deuteronomy 15 and 9. It says, "Beware, lest there be a base thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and your eye is hostile towards your poor brother, and you give him nothing. Then he may cry to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin in you." In the Jewish context, see, they were all brothers. I don't care if one was rich, one was poor. And they had a lot of laws stating when they would assist the poor. And there were some Jews, just like there's many Gentiles in our culture, that are saying, "I'm just waiting for my time to give. And I'm going to give it quick, and then my heart's going to close up, and I'm not going to give anymore." Well, this verse speaks very clear to the issue. For it says, "Beware lest there be a base thought in your..." You see, that's a base thought. That's a lowly thought. "Man, I just want to get... Man, just let Christmas be over, so I won't have to give anymore. God, look at..." No. That's a base thought in your heart. And the 7 year or the year of remission, you have to understand that in that culture, if you had a lot of folks... You see, a lot of folks didn't have money, and so they sold themselves into slavery. And what would happen is that they would have to work. And then the seventh year, the person that owned these persons would have to let them go. And so they were fearing that. They wanted to keep them indebted. And God says, "You don't do it that way." And so we see an Old Testament pattern. We cannot be happy knowing that others are wanting. You see, and once we do that, we're looking down on those that are, you know, a little bit more unfortunate than we are. When you find a man or a woman or a child that doesn't have, you're supposed to look at them with a Christian heart and say, "What can I do to help these people?" And if you can't, and listen, a lot of times, brothers and sisters, it's not money that I'm talking about. It's not money. It's babysitting a little bit. It's cooking a pot of grits and taking it over there. You know it's Friday night and you know she's struggling. Cook some spaghetti or something and take it over there. And just say, "Here, just take this and feed those two." Just acts of almsgiving. You know, like if you have a dress that you don't need anymore, and it's a nice dress, and you don't even want it, and you know that the sister's coming to church, she's exactly your size. Put it in the cleaner. Put it in a nice box. Wrap it up nice and pretty. Put a little card on it, and just say, "God bless you, dear." And she will be happy in her heart. Same thing with some of you brothers. You know, you're dressing all nice and got sweaters and clothes and everything. You don't wear it anymore. Your closet is just filled up. You need to clean it out and just start giving to folks that don't have it. Also, selfishness is not a part of the Christian experience. So I see that in Deuteronomy 15:9. Selfishness is not a part of the Jewish experience. It ought not be a part of the Christian experience. Christians are some of the most selfish people you ever want to find. Now, I don't mean when somebody's trying to use you. Don't get me wrong. Use some discretion. You must use some discretion, because some folks will try to use you and abuse you. Even though we cannot feed the world, we must care for those who cannot care for themselves. See, it is not our responsibility to feed the world. I remember, you know, like they got these worldly people holding hands. "We are the world," and they're rocking. "We are the children." We're going to hold hands all around Los Angeles. "We are the..." Some of them folks are getting in that whole hands line, and they have no intention on working or nothing. But they're going to be, we are the world pulling you. Yeah, right. Where's the money basket? See, there are some people that don't and won't ever work. They will never work, and you know what? They're going to work you. They're going to work you and say, does your ministry have a ministry of giving? I say, we sure do. Now, I got a yard out there. I remember one day a man came by the church and he says, Pastor, I need some food. I said, come here. I said, see all that trash that the wind and blew up here? Yeah, clean it up, and I'm going to get you a bag of food. Came out there and the guy had it cleaned up beautiful. I said, excuse me, please. I went back and got him a second bag. I said, you sure do work good. See what I mean? But if I said, oh, you want a bag of food? Clean it up. And he said, no, I ain't doing nothing. And I'm going to tell him your stomach will stay empty. Beware of that. Beware of that. Our witness is in order. Point number two. The Lord has given direction in those clear terms of our giving. He has given us direction. Go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. We're talking about almsgiving, how we are to give. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. The Lord has given us direction. Jesus said unto them, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And then he says, and then come and follow me. What are you saying here? You want to be complete? I'll tell you how to be complete. Look around and see somebody that has a need. I ain't got much. I didn't say that to you. You want to go to heaven? Look around and see somebody that has a need. Is it financial? Oh, I ain't got my financial. You got a car? Look around and see. Listen, I had a group call me this morning. They said, I have some children. I love to come to church. We need one of your members to come by and pick us up. I thought in my study this morning early, I said, oh, Lord, who could I get up an hour earlier to send by these folks' house to pick them and their children? You know I couldn't think of nobody? Because I'd probably get blasted over the phone. And what you doing calling me at 7 o'clock asking me to go down on such and such to pick up these people and their old nasty children? Man, I'll get there when I get there. Right. I was here 6 o'clock this morning. Somebody got in and said, you sure look strange. I said, these are my work clothes. I don't come here dressed up in no shark skin suit, Stacy Adams shoes, Hickey Freeman hat, all leaning to the side. I'm the big bad senior pastor. I come here with doctors working at 6 o'clock. Somebody calling me to ride to church. Oh, I'm not quite up yet. I let you stay up last night looking at the boob tube. But you won't get up at 6. I'm telling you, my friend, Jesus says, oh, you want to get to heaven? You want to be complete? Get up and put some gas in that tank. Make sure your brakes work and the vehicle is insured and go pick up some folks that got here on the bus this morning. No, we won't do that, but yet we're going to heaven. You see, oh, I give. Yeah, right. Give me a break. My friend, if there might be a danger in our misunderstanding Jesus' terms, he speaks very clear in the text of Scripture. And some of us in this life can respond to the Lord's admonition, yet hopefully not in the manner that a good man did. I want you to go to Luke chapter 19 and look at verse 8. Luke chapter 19, verse 8. See, now here's a man that was running his mouth, talking about everything that he did, and when Jesus came to his house, his heart just exploded. And this man, Zacchaeus, just started to get real with the Lord. And that's what some of us in this room need to do. Because see, some of you in this room right now, when the offering basket come by, oh, you have abundance to give the Lord for ministry. Listen, folks here tell me, man, 15 minutes, not enough for the Olivet Discourses. You know what I tell them? Man, these folks don't give here. These folks are giving the pure word of God. They don't believe in giving and so that others can be benefited. Not be giving and so I can be heard. I don't even like listening to me. I listen to hear what I said so that I won't get sued. That's the only reason that I listen. But the point is that you need to look at that closely. Now look at Luke, and we're going to see what he says in Luke chapter 19, and we're going to move on down to verse 8. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded, he did. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, he did. I will give back four times as much. Now look at this man. He was a tax collector by trade, working for the Roman government, one of the biggest thieves in the New Testament scriptures. He had ripped off God's people, and he had gotten rich behind it. Zacchaeus was a chief tax gatherer. He was like Matthew, that other apostle, who was at the receipt of custom. And when Jesus came by Matthew's table, the scripture told me Matthew left all that gold and followed the master. Now here Jesus is in Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus is saying, now if I've defrauded someone, and we've concluded that he has, I'm going to give them fourfold. The man was rich. But look at how he viewed the possessions that he had. The possessions were not his. And I'm sure that the more he gave, the more God gave to him. And he didn't give like some of my Word Faith friends teach, that if you give, God's going to give you a lot. Shut up! You're giving for the wrong reason. You don't give to get anything back. You give so that you can give more if he gives you something back. And then if he don't give you any money, you can start giving of your time, of your cause, of your talent, of your means. Because it is all for the glorification of the kingdom. You're here to glorify Christ. You're not here to get anything for yourself. Christianity has lost its way. We've been taught for years that Christianity is a gimme thing. No, friends, it's always been a let me give you, God, for your glory. And then what the Lord does is he gets turned on behind that and he'll bless your life. Third part of our outline. Is there a proper way to handle with care? I believe that there is. You see, there's a proper way for us to give. There's a proper way for us to be concerned about poor in our society. And I'm going to tell you, in these 1990s, folks are going to get poor. Some of us in our body are going to get poor. I'm just going to tell the truth. If any of you ever contact me, and you're a member of this church, and you say, Pastor, can you help me out? Hey, I'm going to do all I can to help you out. I'm going to be poor with you that week. Because I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to 50-50 right down the line. Here, go ahead, take care of that. Put some food in your baby's mouth. Do that. You know, I think it's a shame that some believers have to think about who they're going to call before they call them.
Well, I can't call them.
Why?
Well, you know what they're going to think about me.
What?
Call them up. Says, I have a need. Can you help me?
No, you're not going to call them because you're so afraid because you know how they are about their money. You're always calling me. Well, why don't you start being, you know, that way beneficial in what you do to try to help people? And it's not going to last forever. You know, some people think that if they help some persons one time, they got to help them all the time. It's not true. It's not true. That's not the way it is in the body.
Well, now, as we continue, what I'm doing is I'm giving some answers. Not just giving a bunch of opinions, but basically answers. The kind of answers that we need as Christians. You know, how do we give? You know, what is our benevolence all about? What's the reason for it? And you know what I like about this message, I really love about it, is that it's contemporary. Though it was preached, as I just said, back in the 90s, it's good for today. Thank you. Thank you so much. You want to go into the next section? All right, I'll shut up and let you go there. God bless. Stay in the Word now.